Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading The Babysitter's Rules, I Didn't Believe Them Until It Was Too Late by DarkLion61413. I hope you enjoy this story, and if you do, let me know in the comments below if you're on YouTube. Let's get started. I've always loved kids and thought babysitting would be an easy way to earn some extra money while studying for my degree. When Mrs. Thompson called me out of the blue and asked if I could watch her two children, Lily and Max, for a few hours one evening, I didn't hesitate to say yes. She offered an incredible hourly rate and assured me that the kids were well behaved. The job seemed like a dream come true. The evening started off normally enough. I arrived at the Thompson's house, a large old house on the outskirts of town, and was greeted by Mrs. Thompson, a pleasant woman in her mid-40s. She introduced me to Lily, a sweet 5-year-old with curly blonde hair, and Max, a quiet 7-year-old who seemed a bit shy. After a brief tour of the house, Mrs. Thompson handed me a list of rules and instructions. She looked at me with an intensity that made me uneasy. "These rules are very important, Hannah," she said. "Please follow them exactly." I nodded, taking the list from her. "Of course, Mrs. Thompson, I will." She smiled, but it didn't reach her eyes. "Thank you. We'll be back around midnight." With that, she and Mr. Thompson left, and I was alone with the kids. I glanced at the list of rules, feeling a little silly. How hard could it be to babysit for a few hours? 1. Always keep the doors and windows locked. No problem. It was an old house, and I figured they just wanted to be safe. 2. Do not let the children play outside after dark. Fair enough. It was already evening, and the yard was surrounded by dense woods. 3. Do not answer the phone unless it rings twice in quick succession. A bit odd, but okay. 4. Bedtime is 8 p.m. No exceptions. That seems reasonable. 5. If you hear whispering, ignore it. Do not investigate. That one made me pause. What kind of whispering? But I shrugged it off as overprotective parenting. 6. If Lily starts singing, do not interrupt her. Wait until she finishes. Lily was humming to herself as she played with her dolls. It seemed harmless enough. 7. If Max asks you about the shadows, distract him immediately. Creepy, but probably just a way to keep his overactive imagination in check. 8. Under no circumstances should you go into the basement. That was fine with me. I hated basements. I put the list aside and joined the kids in the living room. They were watching a cartoon and everything seemed perfectly normal. After a while, I made them dinner and helped them get ready for bed. As the clock struck 8, I tucked them in and read them a story and turned off the lights. "Good night, Hannah," Lily whispered, her voice soft and sweet. "Good night, Lily. Good night, Max," I replied, closing the door gently behind me. I went back downstairs and settled onto the couch with a book. The house was quiet, the only sound the ticking of the grandfather clock in the hallway. It was peaceful, almost too peaceful. When around 9 o'clock, the phone rang once, then twice in quick succession. Remembering the rule, I picked it up. "Hello? Hannah, it's Mrs. Thompson. How are things going?" "Everything's fine," I replied, glancing around the room. "The kids are asleep and everything's quiet." "Good," she said, sounding relieved. "Remember to follow the rules and everything will be fine." "Of course," I said, trying to sound confident. After we hung up, I went back to my book, but my mind kept drifting to the list of rules. What did they mean by whispering, and why couldn't Max talk about shadows? Suddenly, I heard a faint sound coming from upstairs. It was like a soft, rhythmic chanting. My heart skipped a beat as I realized it was Lily singing. Remembering the rule, I stayed where I was, listening to her song. It was a haunting melody, and it sent chills down my spine. She sang for what felt like an eternity before finally falling silent. I took a deep breath, trying to calm my nerves. This was ridiculous. It was just a song. But the house felt different now, like the air was thicker, heavier. A few minutes later, I heard another sound, this time coming from the hallway. It was a soft whispering noise, just barely audible. I strained to hear what it was saying, but I couldn't make out any words. My first instinct was to get up and check on the kids, but the rule echoed in my mind. If you hear whispering, ignore it. I stayed on the couch, my heart pounding. The whispering grew louder, more insistent. It felt like it was coming from right behind me, but I forced myself to stay put After a few agonizing minutes, it stopped. The house was silent again, but the sense of unease lingered. Then I heard footsteps on the stairs, slow, deliberate footsteps coming down one step at a time. I turned toward the sound, my breath catching in my throat. Max appeared at the bottom of the stairs, his eyes wide and frightened.
"Anna," he whispered, "the shadows are moving."
I remembered the rule and quickly stood up.
"Hey, Max, do you want some hot chocolate? Let's go to the kitchen."
He nodded, his eyes darting around the room as if he was afraid something might jump out at him. I took his hand and led him to the kitchen, trying to keep my voice light and cheerful.
"Do you like marshmallows in your hot chocolate?"
I asked, hoping to distract him. He nodded again, but his grip on my hand tightened. I made us both a cup of hot chocolate, and we sat at the kitchen table. Max kept glancing over his shoulder, his fear palpable.
"Max, what did you see?"
I asked gently, trying to keep my own fear at bay.
"The shadows,"
he whispered.
"They're watching us."
A shiver ran down my spine.
"It's okay, Max. You're safe here."
He shook his head.
"They're everywhere. They want to take us."
I didn't know what to say. I tried to reassure him, but his fear was contagious. I decided it was best to put him back to bed and hoped he would fall asleep quickly. As we walked back upstairs, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. I tucked Max back into bed and stayed with him until his eyes finally closed. As I turned to leave the room, I caught a glimpse of movement in the hallway. My heart leapt into my throat, and when I looked again, there was nothing there. Back in the living room, I paced nervously, my mind racing. This job was turning out to be far more than I had bargained for. The rules, the whispering, the shadows, it all felt like something out of a nightmare. At around 11:30, the phone rang again, twice in quick succession. I answered it with a trembling hand.
"Hannah, it's Mrs. Thompson. Is everything okay?"
I'm not sure," I admitted.
"Max was talking about shadows and there's been strange noises."
"Just follow the rules, Hannah," she said firmly. "We'll be home soon."
She hung up before I could say anything else. I set the phone down, my hands shaking. What was going on in this house? A sudden noise from the basement made me jump. It was a soft, rhythmic thumping like someone knocking on a door. The rule about the basement flashed through my mind. Under no circumstances should you go into the basement. I wanted to ignore it, to pretend I hadn't heard anything, but the sound was persistent. I took a deep breath, trying to muster my courage. Maybe it was just a loose pipe or an old furnace acting up. As I stood there debating about what to do, the knocking grew louder, more insistent. Against my better judgment, I found myself moving toward the basement door. My hand trembled as I reached for the doorknob, and just as I was about to turn it, a voice behind me made me freeze.
"Anna, don't!"
I spun around to see Max standing at the top of the stairs, his eyes wide with fear.
"Go back to bed, Max," I said, my voice shaking.
"Please don't open the door," he whispered.
"They'll get out."
My heart pounded in my chest.
"Who will get out?"
"The shadows,"
he said, his voice barely audible.
"They're trapped down there. If you open the door, they'll come for us."
The fear in his voice convinced me to step back. I guided Max back to his room and tucked him in once more, promising him that I wouldn't open the basement door. Back in the living room, I sat on the couch, my mind racing. The knocking continued, but I forced myself to ignore it. Whatever was down there, I didn't want to find out. Finally, just before midnight, the front door opened, and Mrs. Thompson walked in, followed by her husband. Relief washed over me at the sight of them.
"How was everything?"
she asked, her eyes scanning the room.
"It was eventful,"
I said, trying to keep my voice steady. She nodded as if she expected that answer.
"Thank you, Hannah. Yeah, you did well."
I gathered my things and headed for the door, eager to leave the house and its unsettling secrets behind. As I stepped outside, Mrs. Thompson's voice stopped me.
One last thing, Hannah?"
I turned to look at her.
"Yes?" "Never speak of what happened here tonight, for your own sake."
I nodded, too shaken to argue, and left the house. The drive home was a blur. My mind was filled with thoughts of shadows, whispers, and the rules I had barely understood. As I lay in bed that night, I couldn't shake the feeling that something had followed me home. The darkness in my room seemed thicker,
more oppressive. I kept the lights on, unable to sleep, haunted by the events of the evening. The next morning, I woke up with deep, dark circles under my eyes, despite barely sleeping. As I dragged myself to the bathroom, I noticed something odd in the mirror. There were faint, shadowy figures flickering behind me. I turned around quickly, but there was nothing there. I tried to convince myself it was just my imagination, a remnant of the night's terror. Over the following days, the occurrences escalated. I would see fleeting shadows out of the corner of my eye, hear whispering voices when I was alone, and feel a chilling presence in my room at night. My grades started to slip, and I found it hard to concentrate on anything. Friends noticed the change in me, commenting on how tired and distracted I seemed. One night, as I was studying for an important exam, the power went out. I sat in the dark, trying to steady my breathing when I heard the familiar whispering. It was loud now, almost as if it was inside my head. I clutched my ears and squeezed my eyes shut, but it didn't stop. Suddenly, a cold hand grabbed my ankle, pulling me off my chair. I screamed and kicked, but there was nothing to fight against. The whispers turned into menacing growls and the shadowy figures closed in around me. Just as quickly as it started, the power came back on and the shadows vanished, but the fear remained, a constant reminder that I was never truly alone. I knew then that the shadows had followed me home and they were here to stay. No matter where I went, I could feel their presence lurking in the corners, watching and waiting. The babysitting job that seemed to be like a dream had turned into a never-ending nightmare. Desperate for a solution, I contacted Mrs. Thompson, hoping she could help me banish the shadows. She listened to my plight with a knowing expression and then reluctantly gave me a small, worn book titled Wardings Against the Dark. She explained that it contained rituals and protections that might help me rid myself of the shadows. I spent the next few nights carefully following the instructions in the book. I lit candles, burned herbs, and recited incantations. Each night, the presence of the shadows seemed to weaken. On the third night, after completing the final ritual, I felt an overwhelming sense of relief as the shadows dissipated, leaving my room feeling lighter and more peaceful. Although the immediate threat was gone, the experience had left a permanent mark on me. I no longer took safety for granted and always followed the rules Mrs. Thompson had given me, even in my own home. I never took another babysitting job, and the memory of that night stayed with me, a constant reminder of the things that lurk in the shadows, waiting for an opportunity to strike. The true horror had just begun, and it was far from over. But at least for now, I had found a way to keep the darkness at bay. That's the end of this story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, let me know in the comments below if you're on YouTube. If you're anywhere else, I don't know what your options are, but I hope you enjoyed your stay here. If you did, hey, maybe subscribe, like the video, and join us in Discord. Come say hi, come hang out. It's pretty fun. If you'd like to support the channel more, you can do so by going to Patreon and, well, searching up Stories After Midnight, because there is one available. It really helps keep this channel going. And if you'd like to send me your story to read, go to storiesaftermidnight.com, where you will find a list to do so. Anyway, I appreciate you checking out this video. I hope I'll see you in the next one.